The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. It is the 15th of May. That's 5-15. 15, I think. Yeah, it is. 5-15-15. Let's go down to Florida and say hello to one of the most remarkable, honest historians working in the field of uncovering the truth and bringing history into accord with the facts of what happened back then and, in fact, what's happening now. He is, of course, Harry Cooper, the founder and president of Shark Hunters, and it is a remarkable organization. I hope you'll all go take a look at it, click on Harry's name, and have a visit, and begin to walk through history and see it as it really happened, because it honestly bears little resemblance to what the history books tell us. Hello, Harry. Welcome back.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm some days good, some days not so good.
You sounded pretty good today.
Thank you. Thank you.
We hope it's on them. We're keeping you in our prayers.
Yeah, thank you. I profoundly am grateful for that and everyone who's been thinking good thoughts, because it matters. It matters a great deal. And couldn't make it without all that. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you were a former top stock car driver, race car driver, and had your share of accidents and no doubt lost some people along the way that you were friendly with and cared about. It's something that people don't think about. We lose on the highways in this country every year over 40,000 dead, and no one talks about it. You don't see it in the newspapers. You don't hear about it in the mainstream media. Because the automobile industry is far more important than human life, I guess.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, now I don't think I'd consider myself a top driver when I was running super speedways, because I was racing with A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unger and Al Unger, and they had tons of money, and I was on a shoestring. But when I was short tracking, yeah, it was up at the top. But because of the safety of the cars, I only lost, in all the years I was racing, I only lost one friend in the racing business. I hit the wall once doing about 140 miles an hour, but because of the safety of the cars, mm-hmm. I just walked away. However, a good friend of mine, Sal Tavella, who was another dynamite race car driver, he lost his whole crew one time when the guy driving his hauler truck with the race car on it lost control and crashed into another truck on the highway. Highways are dangerous.
They are, and again, how often do you see stories about the number of 40,000 a year? Yeah. That's almost 500,000 dead in 10 years, 500,000, and yeah, there are about 3 million injuries a year, so figure 500,000 dead in 10 years, 30 million injuries, and nobody talks about it. They just don't.
Yeah, I guess it's not financially rewarding for the automobile industry, I guess. I don't know.
No, do you remember when they had, of course you do, they had, and some of you listening do as well, they had 5-mile-an-hour mandatory impact bumpers on the front of cars.
Oh, sure, I remember
okay.
that.
And then General Motors lobbied and bribed and bribed, and they got those dropped. What that meant was when you had a 5-mile-an-hour impact bumper on there, you could clunk into somebody, and it wouldn't do much, if any, damage to the car. You'd kind of just spring back.
Yeah.
As soon as they got rid of those, my God, the insurance companies, the automobile repair industry had a field day. You hit somebody at 5 miles an hour, you could lose the whole front of your car.
Yeah, well, they're all plastic now.
Yeah.
I remember far enough. I remember beyond that 5 mile an hour bumper. I remember back when there were just huge bars of spring steel across, and every once in a while you'd bump somebody in your car. Your bumper'd go over his bumper, and you'd be all locked up, and then you'd have to bounce the cars around to get them off, and nobody got hurt. And the cars didn't get hurt, I mean. But remember, I was a kid during the war years, so I saw a lot of cars coming and going. I saw a lot of technology coming and going.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we are now past the birthday, past the anniversary of the non-suicide. Tell us what your experiences have been, Harry. You had a couple big radio programs to do. How were they received? What was it like? And have you and the follow-up? I'm curious. Were you sneered at? Did the spit lickers come after you? Did they go after the host? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, you know darn well that's what happened. The spit lickers, as my buddy Charlie Ellis refers to the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. I was on coast to coast with George Knapp, who you said, you told me, was a very decent journalist. And I was on the... I was on his radio show, what was it, a month and a half ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And the hit counter on our website went up nicely the very next day, which is normal, at sharkhunters.com. But then I've just recently been told that the PLC contacted him and allegedly threatened him. I don't know whether they did or not.
George Knapp?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Threaten him how? How'd they threaten him?
Not physically, of course, but probably like they did with you, to pull some of your stuff off the air. Somebody sent me a clip, only about a 5 or 10 second clip of George Knapp the next day. More or less apologizing for having me on his show. Good Lord. Of course, what they don't realize is the hit counter went nuts the next day, and the number of new members doubled over what it normally is. So, you know.
Harry, did you just say that George Knapp actually reversed and recanted, basically, and said that he was sorry you were on his program?
That is what my members emailed to me, and I sent an email to George Knapp yesterday morning and asked him for his input. I told him what I had been informed.
Yeah.
And I asked him if it was true, and I said, if it's true, then I said something about having a set of Monica Lewinsky knee pads so he could kneel and kiss the you-know-what of the spit lickers. And I asked him if it was true. And I said, if it's not true, let me know. But if it is true, I told him he was not worthy of the title newsman. And the point there being that if it was true, that would indicate that he made a decision based on pressure from them and not an intelligent decision having all the facts, because if you want the true story and somebody says one thing, you contact the person who's being accused of something and ask them. Because now the spit lickers love to say that I'm a neo-Nazi, which is not true. I'm not a Nazi knee or otherwise. I don't even know how you define that. And Shark Hunters is a hate group. That's a nice, easy way to
really
lump things together. With general hate.
Geez.
Some people are white bigots. Some people, I looked at their website. Some people they identify as black bigots. Some are white bigots. Some are white separatists. Some are black separatists. Some are this, that, and the other thing. But we just got lumped up as general hate. And, you know, that's an easy thing to somebody and it sticks to stupid people who don't research. Because when their number one hatchet man, who's not really a man, it's a woman, Heidi Beirich, I think I pronounced her name right, when she called me about a year ago, she asked me if I knew Willis Carto, the publisher of the American Free Press, and I told her, yeah, he's a member of Shark Hunters, and he's a personal friend since 1989, and oh, she says, well, he's a neo-Nazi. I said, really? I didn't know that. And then she said, do you know Dr. Charles Ellis? I said, yeah, he's on my board of advisors.
Like she didn't know all this. Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course she knew it because it's published right there on my website.
Right.
And she said, well, he's a neo-Nazi too. I said, well, I didn't ask him.
Oh, God.
Opinion was, I said, but this is the USA. If he wants to be a Nazi, that's his business, but I don't think he is. And I said, I can tell you, I can tell where this is going. I said, are you going to put down that those guys are members? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I said, are you also going to put down that Ronald Reagan was a member and the four Medal of Honor American submarine commanders, they're members, some Medal of Honor fighter pilots were members, state governors, senators, congressmen, these are all paid members. These are not honorary members. They are paid members who chose to be members. Are you going to put that down? Well, probably wouldn't fit, she says, or something along those lines. So, you know, it was a very slanted piece.
It's an ambush. It's not even journalism. It's just ambush defamation of character is what it is.
Yeah, and you have to step back and ask who appointed them as the gatekeeper, as the definer of what is a hate group and what is not a hate group. We don't hate anybody. And as you know, I don't even hate the two guys that killed my son. Someday God's going to put them in my crosshairs. That's another story, but I don't hate them.
And I'm well aware of that, and I've always honored that, yes.
Yeah, and we're a history group. We began the history of the German U-boats, and we are, without question, the world's only research archive / publication on the U-boats in the world. There is an archive in Germany, which is an incredible archive, and we're closely affiliated with them. But they don't publish anything. And then you've got these online forums, and you send in a question to their forum that you'd like more information about the U-boat that sunk, full of gold, of course, sunk in the Sea of Tranquility, and you'd have, within 24 hours, you'd have probably 100 people telling you all about the submarine, who the captain was, without realizing that the Sea of Tranquility is on the face of the moon.
First of all, of course it's on the moon. Secondly, all U-boats were full of gold, weren't they?
Yeah, right. Full of gold, diamonds. You have to wonder how they damn near won the war for Germany because they only carried around gold, diamonds, and stolen art treasures from the
moon. Stolen art treasures, and yeah.
Half of them had Adolf Hitler's body on board. And, of course, they were Nazi U-boats. They couldn't be called German U-boats.
No.
Nazi U-boats.
Never mind that far less than 10% of the German military was ever involved with the party. They were patriots. They were Germans. They were fighting for their country and supporting their entire agenda.
And
in
the Navy, Admiral Dönitz made it a rule that could not belong to any political party at all until after about July of 1944, after Tom Cruise tried to blow up Hitler in the Dürer bunker in the Wolfschanze during that Operation Valkyrie.
Don't bother these people with the facts, Harry, because it gets in the way.
I know it. But at that point, then they put PK guys, propaganda company, guys on board or political guys on board who, you know, had a lot of times they have an accident and get washed overboard and never seen again. But they were Germans, and they were proud of their heritage. They had been put down so horribly after World War One and the Treaty of Versailles, and they were in a tremendous financial depression. And Hitler came along at the right time. Germany was one people. They didn't have diversity. And they had a common people. They had a common ailment, which was the depression, the financial disaster. They would take a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread. And along came Hitler to unify them and give them back their pride. And so, of course, they were proud of their country. Now, I'm not going to get into any of the other stuff about the history or the fictitious history or whatever, or the rest of the stuff, because I'm not an expert on that. But he put Germany back together. And so those who joined the military joined because of pride in their country, the same reason in this country people joined the military out of national pride when the war broke out. Whether it was misdirected or whatever is up to other historians. But I remember, I remember how proud everybody was to run off and join. I lived in Chicago at the time. I was a little kid. And you'd see the little pennants hanging in people's window that indicated they had a son in the military. If it was a Silver Star, and indicated, I think, that their son had been wounded. And unfortunately, there were a lot of Gold Stars, which meant their son wasn't coming home. But they were all proud. This country and Germany, and I'm sure the other countries in the war. War is a terrible thing. And I challenge anybody to tell us about one war that was for any reason other than money, profit. Now, but when you're a kid, hey, when I got out of high school, I was an 18-year-old kid. I couldn't wait to run down to join the Air Force because I was full of national pride, which I still am. This is a great country. Our government's full of crap, but this is a great country.
Mm-hmm.
And ran right on down, joined the Air Force. Served my 4 years. I wanted to be a fighter pilot, but they had just finished Korea. And they had so many pilots left over from World War II in Korea, they just shut down air cadets. So I commanded a six-man team loading hydrogen bombs onto B-47s. And then I got out since I couldn't be a fighter pilot. But everybody joined because of pride in their country. So this business about they joined so they could massacre Jewish people or any of the other stories, that's a bunch of baloney. It's propaganda. So anyhow, I'll get off my political.
No, don't. We have a couple more minutes left. Go ahead and wrap it up. That's very succinctly stated, very accurate, 100% accurate. There's an awful lot out there that, tragically, most American young people will never come into contact with, except down the road as some crazy, lunatic conspiracy, alleged conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is the conspiratorialists have it right, and the historians have it wrong.
Yeah, and we've been trained like Pavlov's dogs to turn a negative opinion to anyone named a conspiracy theorist. Now, again, what's a conspiracy theorist? What's a Nazi? How do you draw a definition?
Well, I call them conspiracy investigators or researchers.
Right. Well, I guess I'd be considered a conspiracy theorist or something like that. Because I absolutely flat out say Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun did not commit suicide in the Führer bunker on 30 April 1945. And that's not a theory. It's fact. One of my guys, we've got thousands of members, and if any of your listeners would like information on membership and a free copy of our magazine electronically, they just need to send me an email, shuckhunters@earthlink.net.
And please do that, ladies and gentlemen. Take advantage of that offer. His magazine is marvelous. You will not find any radicalized ravings. You'll find truth and history, as told by the people who lived it,
right,
by the way.
Right. Most of the surviving U-boat commanders were members.
A lot of
American and British anti-submarine guys were members, and they all gave us their history. And then during our conventions, they got together, and they'd be arm in arm, and they'd be drinking and singing together. And my thought on our first convention, 1988, hundreds of people, Germans, Americans, arm in arm, singing, drinking, and I thought, how could we have ever shot at one another? And they told me, almost every time, they told me that they learned they really were not different. They just wore different uniforms.
So, yeah, and we're financed and pushed and ordered by different banking elements in the big cartel that runs the world.
Well, we didn't know that. I didn't know that back then, but that seems to be the case. I'm not the expert on that, but that appears to be.
Well, Marine Corps Commandant Smedley Butler, General Butler, mm-hmm. knew all about that, and he wrote the book in the 1930s, War is a Racket.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Told the truth.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah. All right, hold on a second. We'll be right back with Harry. And do send him an email and ask for a free copy of his marvelous magazine. It'll be sent to you electronically. We'll get back and give you more information on that and continue our conversation in just a few minutes. Hold on. Okay, and we're back. Talking with Harry Cooper. And I do hope all of you will take advantage. Give them the address again, Harry, to write to while they get a pencil real quick for the free issue of the magazine. You know, we had a lot of dropouts with Harry in the first half hour, so the phone may have quit altogether. Probably try to call him back would be my best suggestion at this point. Now, if you are, again, looking for something that is unique, unusual, and reflects, these people are not going to be around much longer. They're real. They're still alive. Some of them are over 100 U-boat skippers, American veterans and Russian veterans. And it's an organization that honors all people who fought under all flags in these wars for money, for greed, wars for death, if you really think about it, and financed by you know whom. And we've got Harry back now. Okay.
Yeah, we got pirated there, didn't we?
Yeah, you got messed with the first half hour, and the Spitlickers have technology that can do anything they wanted to.
Yeah, they're a heck of an opponent to go up against. Our bank right now, our bank account has about $800 in it.
Right.
And I looked at their P&L online, which they're required to post because they're a 501c3 company.
Yeah.
They got more than $250 million cash on hand, apparently.
And $250 million. Wow.
Yeah.
$280 million.
That's more than $250 million. And they bring in about $40 million a year. However, they recently ran into a problem with the FBI. The FBI had, we understand, had been paying them, and from some of the web stuff I've seen, the FBI had been sending them money to ferret out hate groups and unpleasant people, etc. And
Harry, what's a hate group?
I don't have the faintest idea.
Thank
I guess you got to ask the Spitlickers.
Yeah, it's anyone who doesn't agree with them.
Yeah, and in my opinion, they're a hate group because they're going around fingers at everybody saying they're bad, evil, etc.
It's called reverse projection. They are, in fact, one of the most virulent hate groups around, period.
Reverse projection. Boy, I haven't heard that since I was in psychology class.
Yeah, well, there it is.
There it is, yeah. So, but the FBI, apparently, according to what I've seen on some of these official-looking websites, the FBI apparently has realized that they would out just about anybody to keep the money coming in. I don't know if this is true or not, but that is what I see on other websites.
Oh, I think that's quite reasonable.
Well,
and,
the poor old Boy Scouts of America, they better be careful, because if the spitlickers get them in the sights, boy, oh boy, they'll be a hate group too.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be fun when you are in a position like that, that you can say anything you want about anyone. Now, we do have a First Amendment here, but when it's done with malice and intent to defame, to harm, and otherwise to smear, it becomes a different kind of a thing. There are motives involved then, not just simply expressing an opinion.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, it appears like it's coming back to bite them to a degree. I mean, they're still making tons of money, and quite a few people have sent links to not only individuals that have negative things to say about them, but also major and highly respected outfits like Harper's Bazaar magazine. I found a couple articles in there. I think one was titled Morris D's, or the Church of Morris D's, and another one.
Yeah. Well, if you do research on Morris D's, you'll find a lot of very unsavory facts.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Somebody accused him of being a pedophile.
Right.
Something about his second wife's daughter, I guess. I don't know. You'd have to look at it. But she was 16 years old, and you'd have to go to the website to see what it says. So I'm treading a little bit carefully, because I don't want to say anything that's untrue. Definitely never want to do that. I don't want to say anything that's defamatory.
Correct. We're just asking people to do their own research,
exactly.
Look on the Internet, make up your own decision. That's what freedom is really all about.
Yeah. And I'm not worried about getting sued, because, like I say, I've got $800 in the bank. I don't. Shark Hunter does. And
right.
Here in Florida, you can lose a lawsuit for $40 gazillion. And if you don't have $40 gazillion, what are they going to do? They can't take your house in Florida, and they can't take your car. So.
Well, that's a very interesting. I didn't know that. Two big pluses for Florida. Good job.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't
should
move
be that
here.
Way all across the country.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with why we moved here, because we didn't even know it until after we got here.
Sure.
We moved here because Florida's a beautiful place. And if you are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Because I heard that same little beep that happened just before we went. Disconnect,
yeah,
but
yeah. Well, there are people playing all the time, playing.
Hey, let them just listen into the show. What the heck?
Yeah.
So, and as you know, well, you're on the advisory board for Shark Hunters.
Very proud of it. Thank you, sir.
And we're happy to have you. And how much money do you get paid by Shark Hunters?
What is it, $210,000? I forget. Yeah. No, this is, this is nothing, Shark Hunters has nothing whatsoever to do with money.
Right.
It has to do with honesty, integrity, and history. That's
right.
It.
And you get paid the same as everybody else who works for Shark Hunters, like me, as president, all the way on down the line, the translators,
right.
The advisory board get paid zero. Nothing. Nobody gets a paycheck.
No. By the way, some of the filth that has been spread about me over 20 years, but it's become more intense in the last 3, 4, or 5 years. Has it that I make an enormous amount of money? Well, let me say a couple things about that very briefly. First of all, if I did, so what? I earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the government takes 30%. Number three, when people start throwing around gross income figures and not subtracting cost of doing business, which is another half of it.
Yeah.
It just becomes so contrived and so disgusting. You just want to puke.
Yeah.
I make money. I work 12 to 14 hours a day. Harry knows. Harry works about that hard, too, if not harder.
Yeah.
And those of us who are committed to something, whatever we make, and had I sold out years ago to the big business corporate rules and regulations, so to speak, I'd be a mega millionaire by now.
Yeah, you and I'd both be doing well.
You're damn right. But we're not, and I'm extraordinarily heavily in debt right now because I made the mistake of buying a house that had no footings or foundations.
Oh, good.
We were evicted. I was ordered to demolish the house. We lived in a garage for 7 years. And finally, I decided to take out another loan and build a replacement home, which I have done. But I am extremely in debt. It's between $500,000 and $1 million. You figure it out. Am I going to get out of it? Nah. Am I going to try and enjoy each day to the best of my ability, especially in light of getting past what I just went through?
Yeah.
You bet. And the same with Harry. So,
yeah. Well, don't have that kind of debt. Thank God I paid off my mortgage before Obama got into office.
Yeah.
And didn't have a car loan until just, as a matter of fact, on Hitler's birthday, but that was by sheer
Yeah, tell us that story in a second. We got to take a break, Harry. We'll come right back in just a minute.
Yeah, don't lose me this time.
No, we won't. All right, hold on. Okay, back with Harry.
We're still connected.
We are, and now you're connected even more. You're connected by debt.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, some people think that I'm rolling in money, too. And my car is a 1981 Chevy. It's actually a Corvette that I got 15 years ago. And my wife's Lincoln, that was almost 20 years old, had a quarter of a million miles on it. It was time to give her some grief. So on 20 April, we went out and bit the bullet and bought a nice new Ford Fusion. And so I'm paying for that out of my pension. And every month out of my pension, I write a check for $1,000 to Shark Hunters to keep paying all the bills because, you know, I could raise the dues, but that's not fair. We've had the same dues for better than 10 years. We haven't changed the dues at all for 10 years. So I don't think that's fair to my members. And we just keep going along like that. I don't have a savings account of any kind. But, you know, what do you need? We lead a good life. And and without sounding dopey, as you know from our conversations in 1984, my son was killed, and I thought that was going to be the end of the world for me. And then I met Kay a year later, and we got married. And in 1987, my son Sean Patrick was born. And then 1991, my daughter Megan Mary Kathleen was born. And life's got a whole new meaning. So I don't have a lot of money. Like I say, I don't have a dime in a savings account because I don't have a savings account. But to the people who say, this Shark Hunters makes a good living for me, it costs me $1,000 a month, and I don't bring in a dime in my pocket for it. Any money that comes in, membership dues and the sale of the books, et cetera, that goes to paying the bills for Shark Hunters. And it ain't like it was before Kenyon Prince came into the White House, but that's another story. Incidentally, if I sound kind of all jammed up in my throat here, we live in a part of Florida where there's no palm trees. We got oak trees here. We live out in the woods, and right now the oaks are in full blossom, and there's microscopic pollen everywhere, and in your throat as well. So I'm coughing and wheezing.
No, you sound fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a problem.
So
not
anyhow,
a problem.
If your listeners want to look at what we have there, sharkhunters.com, and go to previous tours, you'll see different things there. You'll find tons and tons of photographs. Some of our tours to southern Germany, Bavaria, and Austria, which are called neo-Nazi tours by the Spitlickers.
They call them neo-Nazi tours. Boy,
yeah.
They are low.
Yeah, and they said that we take neo-Nazis and others on these tours.
Yeah.
So I guess I have to ask a person, are you a neo-Nazi or are you a other?
Well, let's look at their passport. It'll say right on there, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. So we go to historic places. We go to Munich. We see some of the historic buildings. We go. We have lunch in the Hofbrauhaus, which is where on the third floor Hitler used to have his speeches, because they could fit like 800 people into that room. And we go to Nuremberg, and we go to places that are off limits in Nuremberg for the history of it. Then we go down to southern Austria for the memorial, which is the high point of our tour, on top of a mountain where there's a ruined church and a huge, huge cross. They have a memorial to remember everyone who fell in battle, no matter what outfit, no matter what flag. To the best of my knowledge, it's the only memorial in the world for all the soldiers of all the countries.
I've never heard of another. No.
I haven't either, and I've been doing this for a lot of years. A lot of decades, too, actually. And so we're going again this September, and people can find information on the website about that, and, you know, they're welcome to come with us if they like. Some of the other tours, though, are down in Argentina and the secret island off of Rio de Janeiro, where the boats and ships would stop for fresh water and meat provisions, even as much as 2 years after the end of the war. I had plans of what I was going to do today, but it just got shattered because one of my top agents contacted me, and I was on the phone a total of 3 hours with
that
agent.
Can you share much of that or any of it with us?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit here. One thing that we learned, Russia has just released some 2 million captured German documents, and I just...
What a bonanza. Wow.
Oh, boy, I guess. Some of my members had been asking me for the link to get into it, and I didn't know it until about 2 hours ago. I have the link, but I'm not going to release it just yet because I want to look at it first to make sure I know what I've got here, and then it'll be released to our members, not to just everybody and anybody. Membership has its privileges. But some of the files, I was told they've got secret police files from 1912 to 1945. Training books, of course, which every military has training books. Jesus, when I was in the Air Force, and I went through 6 months intensive training on special weapons, the first 2 weeks was simplistic, but loaded with how-to books by the Air Force way, you know, how to read the manuals and how to use the tools, how to hammer with a hammer and screw with a screwdriver, et cetera.
So, well, it sounds like a college degree.
Yeah. And you got books on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And other one, there's a series of books called Feindbuch, Army Group Mitte.
Mm-hmm.
Feindbuch means the enemy book, Army Group Middle. I was also told that the reason my book Hitler in Argentina is creating such a furor with both sides of the coin is that the left-wingers want Hitler to remain dead in his Führer bunker by his own hand, because anything else would interrupt some of the flow of money.
Exactly, exactly right.
And on the right wing, the NS people or the neo-Nazis or whatever, not your average neo-Nazi on the street, to use a term, but the organizations, the groups, they don't want to hear that Hitler deserted his people by running away. Well, when you read the book, you'll find out how and why he left Berlin. That's in the book. And this agent gave me what I needed to know about why was President Eisenhower in Bariloche in 1960 when nobody had ever heard of Bariloche except a lot of guys from the Third Reich. That's where
Was Ike still in office at that time, or had he ended his term as...
No, that was 1960. He was still in office.
I misunderstood.
I still haven't done all my research on it yet because I've been on the phone all day with this particular agent.
Well, you may find some things in there which literally will shake up the Spitlickers and others who are making lots of money keeping the false narrative alive and well.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to happen. Right now, what they've released is primarily a printed matter. And the handwritten stuff, my agent said that they burned as much of that as they could, the Germans, before it fell into Russian hands.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you got it, it's just next to impossible to translate because, first off, they used words back then that are no longer in the German language, and they also used a different spin on the language that only the older German would recognize. And they wrote with that huge, big, broad pen. I'm not fluent in German, but I can't even. I've seen some of those old writings. I can't figure out the first word. So let's see what else. Eisenhower started something called the Eisenhower Fellowship, and from what, if I remember correctly, I wrote 5 pages of notes while this agent was talking, and I'm writing 1,000 miles an hour.
Sure.
I'm having trouble reading my own writing here, but there's an Eisenhower Fellowship, and the reason I'm told, the reason that Ike was down there in Bariloche was to let them know, we know where you're at, and we're here now. That's exactly the way the man put it. The agent. And
That's interesting for a number of reasons, not the least of which is because Eisenhower was a genocidal maniac. I don't know how else to phrase it. He was a mass murderer after the war. He was as evil as Stalin, but a piker in comparison. Stalin, of course, was the big... He was Mr. Death of the last century.
Yes, Stalin probably was the number one mass murderer of all history.
Correct.
But Eisenhower certainly was not the hero he was made out to be. I remember when he was running, I like Ike, and everybody wore an I like Ike button.
Yep.
But now we see Eisenhower caused more than 1.1 million German prisoners to be starved to death in his...
Horrible.
Starvation camp, yeah.
In point of fact, probably worse than some of the camp-related deaths, the way Ike did it. No shelter, no facilities, nothing.
Yeah, and no food, because
no
under
food.
His orders, food was withheld until the people died.
I mean, this is a part of history that, again, I would urge all of you to entertain and consider and try to understand and read about, because you cannot grasp where we are now and why we are here now unless you understand what happened in the past. Ike was anything but the hero we thought. The true hero, our greatest hero in World War II, was General George Patton.
I thought you were going to say Patton. Yeah, Patton was a great American.
Yeah, Yeah. An honest American, an honest man when it came to evaluating people's geopolitical threats and where the world was headed. He understood, and they killed him.
Most people think he was just killed in a car crash.
No.
I remember when I first heard about it many, many, many decades ago. You get the mental picture, okay, there's a car crash, there's dead person in the back of the car, but he was alive in the hospital and he was improving.
Correct.
Until he woke up dead one morning, and those who realized that he was assassinated are allowed to believe that he was assassinated because he wanted to rearm the Waffen-SS, who were the tough fighters of the war, and he wanted to march east into Moscow. And that did bear on it a little bit, however, kept asking unpleasant questions like, what happened to the $2 billion worth of gold that disappeared out of the Reichsbank? Oh, well, you're not supposed to know who took that.
No, not supposed to talk about it either. Hold on a sec, Harry. We have to pause again. We'll come right back. Hour number two with Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. I would urge all of you to take a look at it if you're remotely interested in history, as it truly happened. Even if you aren't, please go take a look. And we will be back. Okay, back with Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com, one of the most unusual destination websites on the Internet, one of the most rewarding and intriguing destination websites, period. Harry, I got a question, Harry. And we don't have to go into detail, but what happened to my crystal ball?
I know what you're referring to, and that member just won't talk about it. We still don't know what it is. He doesn't want to sell it. That's all I can say about it. I don't know anymore.
It looks like some kind of a measuring device. Measuring what? I don't know.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know what it is, but it certainly is interesting.
It's an odd thing. Well, from time to time, if just maybe drop him a note, send him to my website and say, look, this fellow will give your little crystal ball a good home.
Okay.
He's not going to do anything except put it on his desk.
He's probably listening to the show right now, so I'm sure he's heard.
You said he's a very nice man. I believe that.
We only have nice people in Shark Hunters.
Of course.
The nice thing about not being an elected officer, I'm kind of a dictator here. Every once in a while, we find a jerk, and I just kick them out.
They don't last long.
I kick them out.
Yeah. I would put it right on my desk, and it would sit here in a place of honor. And whatever it is, who knows? Who knows?
You wanted to tell him, I think you probably did, because I'm sure most of our members are listening.
Well, very good. You have some wonderful people, and I want to thank those folks who did write in with good wishes for me. It came through at the right time. I was honestly very... I was not optimistic at several points that I was going to make it, but...
Wow.
I think I am now, and thanks to your folks especially. I wish I could shake the hand of every one of them and thank them, but please take this as that kind of thanks.
So. Yeah, we got so many comments, good comments, praying for you and keeping you in their minds and hearts. Naturally, I couldn't forward them all. I just told you that we were getting tons of them.
Yeah.
My email box was getting too old jammed up every day, so I thanked everybody and told them I was passing on their good wishes to you, which I did. Not their words. But
indeed. I again, more than grateful.
It's good people. And a couple of years ago, for instance, when Captain Hartigan, Reinhard Hartigan, was closing in on his 100th birthday 2 years ago.
I remember that.
Yeah, I asked everybody to send a Christmas or a birthday card here to us, which we would, because we can't give out people's addresses. So they sent, I had to get a huge big packing box to send all these birthday cards over to Captain Hartigan. He was just happier than the Dickens with them. And as you know, because you get the magazine, 2 months ago, March this year, he turned 102.
Yeah.
And he looks the same as when he was like 85, and he still drives his Mercedes down the Autobahn.
That's wonderful.
Yep. Well, he's practicing to live in Florida.
That's
the average
cute.
Driver's.
I got it, yeah.
So old they can't even see their hood ornament.
What do they call them? Listen, this is not to be disrespectful, but it's kind of cute. They call Florida drivers Q-tips.
Q-tips, right. Because,
isn't that right?
All you see is a little white ball of fluff sticking up over the seat back. And that's an old person driving a car.
It's okay. Old people are national treasures, in my view.
I hope so, because I'm an old people.
Well, you don't sound like it.
No, God gave me a pretty good shot at life. I went out to eat today at one of the local cafeterias, and I told the girl that, you know, I'm a senior citizen, because down here seniors get breaks on everything. I said, I'm a senior citizen. She says, yep, I can tell. I said, really? People normally don't think I'm a senior. She says, oh, yeah, you're about 81, aren't you?
What?
I said, 81?
Did she have a...
Where the hell are you getting that? She said, well, I can't see very well. I said, sure.
I was going to say, does she have a white cane? You don't look like 80.
Girl, too,
you look more like 60. You look 65, 66, somewhere around in there.
Well, I try not to even look that old.
No, I mean, that's just the pictures I see, and they're just crummy pictures. I'm sure in reality you look much better than that.
Well, God built me out of good parts, that's all, and I'm enjoying life here, and I'm enjoying what I do with shark hunters. Like you say, yep, I work 12 to 14 hours a day.
You know, it's funny, Harry will sometimes email me when I'm just trying to wrap things up to go to bed. He's already up and at it.
Yeah, so. Usually by 3 in the morning I'm in my office.
Yeah.
And the other, 3 days ago, I went from 2 in the morning till 10 at night without hardly a break, a stop for eating, of course. But, you know, when you got work in front of you, you got to just do it.
Sure. Yep. Even when you don't feel like it.
And I love this history, and I do it because I gave my word to those old warriors on both sides who gave me their history. I gave them my word I would keep the history straight and honest. So, incidentally, if you hear a click, I'm just changing phones because the battery's starting to get soft on this one.
No problem.
There we go. I'm on this phone now.
You know, I want to say...
high-tech stuff, how do you like that?
Yeah. There was the big victory in Europe celebration in Russia and in Europe and so forth. They had released several films of the end of the war. One of them was the ruins of Berlin.
Oh, yeah.
Have been digitally restored and colorized. I didn't run anything about that because I don't like war. I certainly don't think that Stalinist Russia represents Russia today or the Russian people. I do not want to celebrate or honor that, frankly, so I didn't run any of it. And to see the ruins of a magnificent dream, and Germany was a dream in many ways for not only the elite but the people. They believed that they were going to be around, that they were going to enjoy a quality and standard of life that few nations on the planet ever will, and they would have. But more than that, they would have stopped the international banking usury thuggery that is quite clearly dominating much of the planet.
That didn't work well for my buddy, my friend Jörg Haider, who was the political strongman in Austria.
Yeah.
He campaigned in 2008. His slogan was Austria for Austrians, and he won a big chunk.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to take Austria out of the EU and was going to get off the euro, which I think is their version of the Fed. And he said he was going to take all the foreign mooches that come in to live off welfare and kick them all out. And as you know, 3 weeks later, he was dead.
Yep. They kill people.
Yeah, I know.
I'll never know what happened to me, but it has been strongly suggested that it was a Haider-like attempt in one way or another. But when you're in a car the size of a Land Cruiser, that it was completely airborne, upside down, at one point. And I don't know about his car.
I knew about your accident before your girlfriend told me about it. And when you and I have the time to talk by ourselves on the phone, I can tell you what I was told. But not on the air.
You heard before?
Yeah, I knew about it before.
Well, we'll talk about that sometime. Yeah. I want to also remind all of you that things are not getting, as if I need to tell you, things are not getting better. And that puts more of a responsibility on you, each and every one of you, to do a little research, to do a little actual reading, especially from people like Harry's group and many of you are listening, who lived through this or who have relatives who were in it and could tell the truth about what happened. You're not going to find it in history or history books because they're all lies. They're corrupted, they're perverted, they're skewed. They are not reality. That's the way it's always been. The winners write the story, okay? There's no big surprise there. It's not like I'm shocked. But that means you have to do your own research. And getting the magazine from Shark Hunters is one of the great ways to do it. It's absolutely fascinating, and they are stories that you won't hear anywhere else.
Yeah, it's not only history of the U-boats and the battles and everything.
Much more.
There's also a little section in there about flyboys, and we were running a series by Russian MiG-15 pilots who were fighting in Korea. You know, during the time Korea was going on, we heard rumors that the North Koreans were not flying their own planes, that it was Russian fighter pilots, and now it turns out that's exactly what happened. Then we got a lot of spook stuff in there. All this spook, you know, meaning spy or agent. All the stuff that's coming out now that we've dug up, and as you know, we've got a handful of SEIG agents, S-E-I-G, means Shark Hunters, Eagle Hunters Intelligence Group, people who really know what's going on, and also people who know how to get to the right archives. When the Stasi pulled out of East Germany, they just left everything behind, and they had some small archives here and there that were just kind of abandoned, and some of our people are still in contact with the old veterans down in Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, and that's where I'm going down there again in July. There are people I've been authorized to talk to down there. So it's going to be interesting. And I don't, as you know, I don't speak Spanish, but I get along in those little towns with my German.
That's fascinating. Are they still building down there with German architecture and little towns and villages?
I don't know if they're still building, but there are a lot of little towns that are like Bariloche.
Sure.
As I said before, when I got off the airplane, you think you landed in the outskirts of Munich by mistake, you know, because the town looked exactly like a Bavarian village at the foothills of the Andes, as opposed to Bavaria and the Alps. Beautiful architecture. And we were, another time when I was down there, we were up in Cordova province, driving across the Pampas. There ain't a damn thing out there except Pampas. And we're driving and driving and driving and driving. And then there was a wide spot in the road that had a great big building. It was an auto repair shop. It was a gas station. It was a lunch counter and a parts store and all sorts of stuff. So we stopped. We needed to buy new windshield wipers for our rental car. And these little blue-eyed blonde white kids came running past us with their blue-eyed blonde white mother chasing them through this truck stop. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Argentines aren't normally of that ethnic slice.
No, they're not.
So it's and we're finding more and more. And the book Hitler in Argentina is just, it's explosive. You know that. You've read it.
Oh, yeah.
And the follow-on book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, tells how all this was possible. And that one is a rocker, too. But as you know, in the magazine, every month, we're putting more and more and more historic stuff in the magazine as well. The last half of the magazine is all shocking history coming out from the war.
Correct.
And
So
we're getting enough, you know, a contest going on for people to name our new book about the spook work down there. So if any of your listeners want to check in there at sharkhunters.com, and then if they'd like to suggest a name for the book, we got a contest going on until the 20th of this month. And whoever,
5 more days, so you got time.
Yeah, whoever's the successful one, their name will go in the book, so everybody who buys the book, the new book, will know who they are, and we give them $100 worth of whatever they want out of our Shark Hunters gift store. Books, DVDs. We got like 160 DVDs that we offer to members, and we got about 10 or 11 books. Hitler in Argentina, of course, because that's rocking a lot of pretty well solid beliefs. You know, Hitler blew his brains out. Eva Braun took poison, and they all died.
Right,
and the world
right,
was
right.
a safer place for puppy dogs and ice cream.
Yep,
and just didn't happen that way.
No, nope, sure didn't. Are there any younger people in their 30s and 40s who are rabidly interested in Shark Hunters and the reality of history, who get it, who will be able to assimilate the data and pass it along to their friends?
Oh,
you getting
absolutely.
That kind of folks? Good.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, okay, well, first off, I'm not a submariner, so
that leaves
it wouldn't
me out,
take
but
me
it
in.
Does,
well,
that doesn't, no.
Anybody can join. We do have a lot of older people, a lot of veterans. We've also got, he's a little older now, but a couple of years ago, a guy joined up. He was 17 years old, and he was going into the U.S. Air Force, into intelligence. So he was 17. And we've had fathers and sons join. People who are interested in true history, not neo-Nazis, not Hitler praisers, just people interested in history. And that's what we do. We don't.
Yeah.
We're not a hate group. We don't hate anybody.
Oh, please don't. You don't even have to say that.
I think it's really pathetic because the people like the Spitlickers who put these labels on people. I personally, my own personal opinion, I don't think they really even believe it. They just do it to keep the cash register ringing.
Well, why not? That's their game. It's always been their game. Yeah.
I'm going to have to find out how to do that to get the cash register ringing. We got spider webs all over our cash registers. No, I could never.
Well, see, you got to put the word poverty in your name.
Yeah.
SharkHuntersPoverty.com.
Oh, if that'll work. No, I still got to look at the guy in the mirror when I'm shaving. If I look at the guy in the mirror, if I have to turn my eyes away, then something wrong. And so far, I haven't cut my throat while I've been shaving.
Well, I just admire what your resilience has allowed you to go through. You're still at it. And if I were to run into you on the streets, and I'm not just saying this because of our earlier conversation, you look like you're in your maybe 50s. You've got so much energy, so much vibrance, and
that's the way God built me.
Yeah, well, you got it. You got it. You got the genetics. And,
and please don't say when you run into me on the street with your driving record, I'm not sure I'd like it. I couldn't pass that up. Sorry.
Pass you by on the street.
But like I told you, you did the world a favor. You got one more rice burner off the highways.
Well, I don't have a problem. That car saved my life. And,
yeah, it did. It was a big, moosey car.
Yeah.
And I'm still wondering, did that right front wheel come off because you slammed into the embankment, or did it come off before?
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
No, and you probably wouldn't remember it anyhow because
no.
your brain, your mind, has a way, a defense mechanism of just wiping the
It was as if it was shut off, Harry.
Right.
That's all I can tell you. Just as if somebody, and Tim Riefat thinks this is entirely possible, if not probable, a simple beam weapon. They've had these things since the 60s, 70s. They can reverse the polarity in the brain and cause it to basically go to sleep. Just
yeah,
in a second.
You had a new modern cell phone, didn't you? A smartphone.
I didn't have it with me. No, I don't use them.
Oh, okay. That's
no.
a smart thing.
Yeah.
I've got a dumb phone. I don't want a smartphone.
I like the dumb phones. The originals, you could just pick them up and use them like a phone. What all this other stuff is, I can't figure it out.
I know. My wife, my daughter, they've got smartphones. Oh, look, you can check on the sales down at Penny's. I said, I don't give a damn about the sales at Penny's. All I want to do is call people and
yeah.
get calls.
That's right. And that's
oh,
what they
you
were...
can check your emails. Yeah. You can do this. You can check your bank account. I said, well, you pick up the phone and call the banker.
Spend the rest of your life on them. They're thieves. They take time. They take your life.
Plus it costs you $30 a month per phone.
Yep.
I told them, if you want those phones, that's fine, but you're paying for them. So every month, you know, they write a check because my phone is a Shark Hunter's phone. It costs like $50 a month, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I write the check for all the phones, and then they... Every month, they give me their share back, which goes back into the Shark Hunter's account. I'm not paying $30 a month on a computer that's just going to tie up my time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, that's just me.
Well, I am worried about our younger people when you see them with these smartphones. These smartphones are making them dumb, which
yeah,
is the
right,
irony
so.
Of it. They no longer are proactive. They are reactive, and they're... just doddering around in these useless little social interactive cliques, which mean nothing, and writing nasty little notes about each other when they're sitting at the same dinner table. read about that. I mean,
remember the story I told you many, many years ago when my daughter had a different boyfriend. She was, I think, 18,
mm-hmm.
and his parents... had a big shindig for Thanksgiving. You know, the Italian family, so there's lots
sure.
of people there. And lots of noise, lots of talking. Everybody's having a wonderful time. I look down there, and there's my daughter sitting across the table from her boyfriend. Neither one of them are saying a word. They're looking down in their lap, and they're texting. I said, what the hell are you guys doing? Oh, we're texting each other.
Yeah.
Put your phones down and talk.
Talk to each other.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Now...
But I'm from a different generation, you know.
Well, thankfully, that there are those of us who can remember. And when the first cell phones came out, I said, okay, this is convenient. These are telephones. That's what they are. Now they're entertainment complexes like a 16-screen movie theater complex.
Well, yeah, these new smartphones now, they got more power in your pocket than the brand-new IBM 360 Mod 70 we had when I was a young supervisor trainee at Motorola.
I believe it.
It cost millions of dollars and required dozens of people to work it.
And more power than was in the original Apollo mission to the moon.
Yeah.
Extremely crude computers then.
Yeah.
So it has exploded. All right. We're going to take a little pause, and we will be back with another half hour to go as Harry and I continue, so stay right there. Okay, and we are back with all of you folks, wherever you are around the world, and there are people literally listening all over the four corners of the earth to this program, and many of the others on this network. Now, about the Rents Radio Network, I don't expect all of you to agree with all the hosts, views, perspectives, ideas, syntheses of what's going on. But I do expect you to have an open mind. Hopefully that's not too much. So listen in. And if you only ever listen to things or involve yourself with things that you wholeheartedly agree with, if that's all your diet is, you're not going to grow. You need to confront and conflict things you disagree with in order to help you further refine your particular position on whatever item it is that's on the table. You can't always read what you approve of. Simple. Yes? That's your cue. Oh, Harry.
Oh, Harry. Harry's here.
That's your cue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were making a message, a comment.
Well, I was. I'm kind of finished.
What do you mean you don't always agree with? You mean people disagree with me? I'm shocked.
No, I like for people to read stories that sometimes anger them or make them feel uneasy, because it creates in their mind thinking, thought processes that we rely upon in order to really maintain our individuality on the planet. So it's good to read things you don't agree with.
Right, because it makes you think, and that keeps your brain limber, working, you know, like a muscle. You know, you got to work it for it to do something. Apparently, your listeners are interested. I just opened up my emails. Oh, boy, there's a bunch of them emailed in. So I'll be up late tonight answering emails.
Very good. Well, you're always a gentleman about that, too. You try your best. And it is not easy. I had to put in maximum spam protection, which screens out all but emails that are actually in my phone directory, so to speak, in my address book. But I had no choice. Just couldn't do it.
You get tons of them, but I get sometimes, depending on what the situation is, there's times I get 200, 300 a day.
No, it's too much.
Why I'm here at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning to answer the emails.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are stupid, you know. Like, I get half a dozen a day that I've won or been awarded $10 million. All I have to do is send them my banking information so they can transfer the money.
That'll be to Nigeria or some African country.
Oh, I'm sure. But those are easy. You just hit delete, delete, delete.
That's why they put that key in there.
Yeah. You want better health insurance. No, I'm a veteran. The VA takes care of me. Delete those. The matchmaking outfit. Just delete those. I'm not looking for somebody else.
Correct.
But then there's other ones that people have honest questions. And I'll let you know right now, as you know, the people who ask questions, if they're just a quickie question, with a short answer, fine, even if they're not members.
Correct.
Buzz out an answer. But if it's an in-depth question.
Oh, two or three paragraphs to ask one simple two-sentence inquiry is silly. Yeah, people.
Right, but also if it's going to require research on part here.
Are you getting paid to do that? No.
Right. If they're a member of Shark Hunters, we do it because that's part of your membership, and we don't charge for it. Some archives, they charge you to do that. We don't. If you're a member, and if it takes us, and there's been times I've worked for 2 days on a guy's question, that's part of membership, and we take care of that for them. But every once in a while, you get some guy wants a lot of information, and I tell him, fine, what's your membership number? Oh, well, I'm not a member, but you owe me that answer. actually, I don't.
Yeah.
We owe it to our members. That's it. That's why they pay a few bucks. It ain't expensive, but, you know, that's what separates the members from the other ones.
Here's another question. Das Boot. Arguably one of the greatest World War II military films Hollywood will ever produce.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering if there are... I saw the relatively recent Brad Pitt film about he and his tank. It's just absurd.
Yeah.
It made the German military look beyond stupid. Beyond stupid.
Yeah, I refuse to watch any movie with Brad Pitt in it
because that's a disqualifier.
Yeah, he's
right
just
there.
A clown in my opinion. But you know, there are people, he's a very wealthy clown. You're right, Das Boot was, and I came out of Hollywood. I thought it came out of Munich Studios.
It might have.
Yeah.
It might have.
That was
a tremendous
movie.
Have you heard, you should see it. I'm not sure if they should see the subtitle version, probably better, if you can read quick enough. Depends on how long they leave the subtitles up there. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
I don't know.
Are there any other films coming that you've heard about that are going to try to accurately portray what happened to Germany in the war, to show the German side of things? This is a valid position. And if they do it like they did Das Boot, it's doing history of a true service.
Yeah, I'm trying to get together information to where we could help make a documentary about the true situation in Germany. I probably should. Well, I'm not going to say who I'm going to have lunch with when I get over to Germany. But there is there's a book out called Hellstorm by a guy named Tom Goodrich.
Yeah.
It's an outstanding book. Even though I knew these things happened, he puts it in such graphic way that it just turns your stomach the way those poor people, you know, women getting gang raped with Soviet troops standing in line waiting their turn. And one of our members was just a little girl in Berlin when the war ended, or in Germany, I'm sorry. And so she was just a little kid, so she wasn't bothered. But her 19-year-old aunt was gang raped for 3 days straight, and then she committed suicide.
And understandable. See, this is, okay. This is the nature of the Soviet troop, the shock troops, the ground troops, the boots on the ground, the mass hordes, the human waves. There was really no way to even begin to talk about honor, valor, integrity. This was as animalistic as it got, and worse.
And they also would they were pumped up by the so-called journalist Ilya Ehrenberg.
Yeah, a lunatic Zionist maniac of the first magnitude ever.
Tell us how you really feel there, Jeff.
I will. Give me more time.
But he was exhorting the troops on to rape the women and break their spirit, and also to shoot a German man.
If you haven't killed a German male, you haven't lived your day. You've got every day.
And you haven't done your duty for Mother Russia.
That's right.
That was his phrase.
Well, this is all a lie because these people running Mother Russia weren't even Russians.
That's what I've read, but I...
Yeah. Okay, well, that's another story.
Yeah,
hold on just a sec. I think we have to pause here one more time. Yes, we will do that and be right back. Okay, back with Mr. C and SharkHunters.com. Do go by, do take a look, and do think back about this enormous, enormous conflagration. No computers, no TVs, none of that. Just men and a few women and machines. And that's all there was to it. And the brutality and the barbarism that occurred in the Asian theater is fairly unknown to most people.
Yeah.
They really don't know that 90% of World War II in Europe occurred on the Eastern Front. It didn't occur in the West. It occurred in the East against Soviet Russia. And the brutality and the barbarity of those people as whipped up into the insanity that they were whipped up into, it defies description. Hellstorm is a book that is must reading. I've had Mr. Goodrich on the program. It is extraordinary. It is horrifying. It is true. It is.
Yeah, he's come out. The reason went on that, he's come out with, I believe, I'm told he's come out with a documentary, Hellstorm.
I've heard that.
So I've got the link to it somewhere, and over the weekend I'm going to force myself to take time to look at it.
If it's good, and it has to be good, please send me the link, and I'll try and make time and do the same thing here.
Yeah, sure.
Well, out of respect for him doing something that no one else has done before, and that's cover the horrific nature of the Soviet hordes as they pour through. The German military literally could not shoot them fast enough. That's a silly kind of a statement to make, but that's basically the truth.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right, because Russia just overwhelmed Germany with sheer force of humanity.
Correct.
And they'll pop up and say, well, it was Hitler's own fault. He started the war.
No. Wrong.
That's right. He didn't start the war.
Nope. He didn't bomb. Who bombed Germany first? Churchill. It was the British.
Well, even before that, the Polish were killing ethnic Germans. Thousands of ethnic Germans. Right.
Butchering them in the streets. And what do you expect the German people to do?
Right.
Except
so that's
to demand and stop.
Just a small local skirmish until Churchill decided to really expand it. But that's another whole topic. We could be on for another 2 hours over that. But
In a way, that's what I see happening in Ukraine with the Russians in the East.
Yeah.
And if Porky and his cohorts, and I believe they will, launch another larger invasion of the Donbass area, there are going to be a lot of Russian, ethnic Russians, Russian-speaking peoples who are going to be butchered. And that's going to put Vladimir Putin up against the wall. He's going to have to do something. He cannot stand by. Yes.
As you know, I met him some years ago.
Yes.
Spent about a half hour talking with him. He's a tough guy, and the half hour I spent talking to him and looking in those eyes, I came away with two things. One, he's not going to lie to me, and two, he don't back down to nothing. So, and right now, as you know from what we read on our mails that I sent to anybody who wants the daily information, Russia and China are building their fleets at an incredible rate while the NATO forces are cutting back.
Correct.
The Royal Navy doesn't have any aircraft carriers anymore. They got rid of all their Harriers.
Correct.
They got a new super submarine that can hear ships clear across the ocean, but they can't keep from banging into the bottom. They crashed one of them about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
France has a carrier, but and our Navy's being cut back. And now for the first time ever, as you know, in the Eastern Mediterranean, China and Russia are having war games in the Eastern Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of our agents told us, you could darn near walk across the Mediterranean from ship to ship to ship, because Spain has all their ships out there.
Huh.
Italy has, of course, Italy's out there picking their boat, their version of boat people out of the water, people trying to sneak into Italy.
Yeah.
The French are out there with submarines and destroyers, frigates, and they're dropping sonoboys all over the place. And you don't see that on lamestream media. What do you see? You see, there's an underinflated football. That's big news. And Brad Pitt's got a new movie out. Big deal.
Yeah, the underinflated football dominates the news. You know you got problems.
Yeah.
5% or more or less, that's about it, 5% of the media is relatively still, quote, independent. 95% of the media is owned by half a dozen corporations here, globalist corporations. So
right.
we don't get the truth.
The hot mails that you see, I pare them down to just the bare bones news stuff, and I send that to about 4,000 media outlets, and they don't do anything with them. The only time we hear from them is to say, "Please take me off your list." So they like to think they're newsmen. But
no,
reality,
they're just readers.
That's it.
They're readers. That's all they are.
Yeah. So
but keep in mind, keep in mind the parallels between Poland and the ethnic German community in Poland and World War II, and how Hitler had to go into Poland to stop the wholesale slaughter of the Germans in Poland.
Yeah,
that's the truth. Now, we've got the same thing in Ukraine, in the East Ukraine. Same thing. So
it keeps the weapons manufacturing companies making money.
Yeah. Oh, here's the big laugh. The F-35, I call it the F-35 Turkey. one of the worst aircraft made. Talk about a boondoggle.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything good about that plane.
Nothing. Not a week goes by without more and more unpleasant news about this plane. And just a terrible aircraft. And
your tax dollars at work.
I think $1 trillion or something close to it.
Incidentally, it probably should be mentioned. You and I know it, but it should be mentioned because some of your listeners might not know it. In case they're wondering, why were there ethnic Germans in Poland? Well, that's because there was no such place as Poland from, about the 15th century onward.
That's right.
That had all been German. That was East Prussia, Pomerania, et cetera, et cetera. And then 1918, after the war was over, the victorious Allies redrew the map and said, oh, here's Poland. But all those ethnic Germans were living there for generation after generation after generation, and suddenly now they're no longer in Germany. With the stroke of a pen, they're in Poland. And in the last 2 weeks of August 1939, over 450,000 were forcibly kicked out of their ancestral homes and sent back to Germany with just what they could carry, and about 49,000 were massacred. There's a guy who lives about 50, 60 miles away from me here. He wrote a book some years ago called The Polish Atrocities Against Ethnic Germans.
Uh-huh.
And it's an excellent book, and it's got a lot of unpleasant pictures in it. But he, you know, I keep asking him to reprint the book, republish it, and he just can't get going again. So,
well, ask him, invite him on the program sometime if you want.
Okay. Well, I'll give the guy a call.
Yeah, invite him next month. We'll have him on for an hour, and I should get Goodrich back on again too.
Yeah, Goodrich is a neat guy. I talk to him every once in a while on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's done another book now on how the Americans treated the Japanese, but that's apples and oranges when comparing with the Germans, because the Germans were not horrible to the Russians, whereas the Japanese were indeed horrible. Not all the Japanese, but some, like Captain Ariazumi, who pulled survivors from the water on his submarine I-8, I think it was, or I-12, I can't remember which. And then one by one, they had to, with their hands tied behind their back, they had to run the gauntlet of his sailors that had machetes and clubs. And if any of them made it to the end of the line, there was a great big sumo wrestler-sized guy with a fixed bayonet on his rifle, just the guy, and pitched him over the side like a slab of beef. They would use U.S. Marine prisoners, tie them spread eagle between a couple of trees, and use them for live bayonet practice.
All true. People have no idea. Just none.
And so, of course, the Marines were pretty unpleasant back to the Japanese. It was, you know, there is no such thing as a nice war, an honor. Well, you can have honor in the war, but there's no, you know, thank God I never got into combat. I wanted to get into combat. I wanted to kill commies because that's what we were told we had to do. And then when I went to the Soviet Union in 1991, invited by the commanding admiral in command of the whole Soviet fleet, he was ordered by Mikhail Gorbachev to invite me over. I was at a round table with a bunch of Soviet admirals. They love round tables over there. And one by one, each guy would ask me a question about submarine history. And the old admiral right across the table from me kept staring at me with icy blue eyes. And came time for him to ask his question. And instead of asking a submarine history question, he asked, why are you here? And I pointed at him. I was standing. They were all sitting. I pointed at him. I said, I was told you're my enemy. He got very stiff in his chair. And I said, but you were told I was your enemy. And he nodded. And I said, but I don't see see an enemy in front of me. I see a man like myself who wants his kids to grow up in peace and without war. And the guy said, yeah, he agreed. And I said, so let's have a toast with Pepsi, a great American invention. He says, no, with vodka, a great Russian invention. I said, okay, fine. I said, so we're together already. He's like somebody threw a switch. They're all on their feet smiling and patting me on the back, and they were tearing their medals off their uniforms and pinning them on my jacket. And that's true. They weren't different.
Yeah. They were
just different people. And then I found out, I didn't even know this, but I found out my ancestor, James Fenimore Cooper, lived in Russia for a while, for a few years.
Yeah, interesting.
I didn't even know that.
Well, and also if you want to read something interesting about chivalry and honor and war, read about, do a search for Charlie Brown and Franz Stiegler, the B-17 story.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating story.
Yeah, and the German fighter pilot that convoyed him back.
Franz Stiegler.
Yeah.
Let him go. Okay.
Yeah, there was honor. And in the early stages of the war, both sides showed a lot of honor. But then, you know, the U.S. submarines weren't in the Atlantic hardly at all. Then they were all transferred to the Pacific, and that was a whole different war.
Right. Exactly. A lot of the ships, the American submarines, sunk in the Pacific were full of American POWs.
Yeah, a lot of times that was unfortunately the case.
You didn't hear about that, though.
No. No. And then you hear about, like, for instance, the Awamaru. Oh, yeah, the nasty Americans sank a hospital ship. Well, it wasn't a hospital ship. It was a mercy ship. And the Americans allowed the ship passage because it was carrying a lot of medical goods for American prisoners in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Queenfish, USS Queenfish, didn't get the message. And on the radar, they see this fast-moving large ship, and they figured it was a cruiser. They shot it. Bang, zoom, bank. And then they find out, it had a lot of that stuff on it, but it also had a lot of Japanese generals and admirals with all sorts of treasures on board.
Uh-huh.
And they think also the Peking Man. You remember that? The if you're into archaeology, the original Peking Man. They think that guy was on board, too, you know, the mummy.
Huh.
So, you know, what you read...
What happened to the ship eventually?
It went down. And it went down in fairly deep water, too deep for divers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But one of our members, whose name shall remain anonymous, was with the CIA, and the Chinese and the CIA were kind of arm wrestling over who was going to go down and pull all the treasure off of this, and apparently the Chinese won, especially since they think it went to Chinese waters.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, what you read, you have to look at it with a grain of salt.
Oh, more than a grain.
Yeah.
More than a grain.
And you have to do your own research. Otherwise, you know, you're just believing what they want you to believe.
That's the name of the game.
Never been
easier for them, too.
Sure, like I'm a neo-Nazi, Shark Hunters is a hate group.
Don't leave me out. Come on.
Okay. What are you, a neo-Nazi, or are you a communist, or what?
Let's just kind of string them all together.
It'd be hard. You know, I asked this broad from the Southern Poverty Law Center, how can I be a neo-Nazi? She says, what's that? I said, I just told you I'm an honorary Russian submarine officer. So if I'm a Russian, how can I be a Nazi?
I'm sure she had a clever riposte to that.
Yeah,
right.
I don't even remember. She's, they're so slanted.
I know. They're doing a job. It's a machine.
Yeah.
It's ugly, and it is what it is.
It's a lot like interviewing somebody and say, "Well, have you stopped doing drugs?" Well, I never did drugs.
Same thing.
Okay. Then they print. Well, he says he's not doing drugs anymore.
That's exactly right. All right. Harry, thank you. We're out of time again. Great conversation. Always fun. We'll do it again next month. You take care. My best to the family. And talk soon.
Good deal. Thanks. And get yourself better, pal.
Thank you. Thanks, Harry, very much.
All righty. Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, let's take our little break, what's left of it, and we'll come back with Hour 3 right after this.